Flitworth. "Every last one, Miss Flitworth."
"Yes?"
"Trust me on this." Miss Flitworth left him to it and went back to the farmhouse. She stood at the kitchen window and watched the distant dark figure for a while as it moved over the hillside.
"I wonder what he did," she thought. "He's got a past. He's one of them men of mystery, I expect. Perhaps he did a robbery and he's lying low. He's cut a whole row already, one at a time, but somehow faster than a man cutting swathe by swathe."
Miss Flitworth's only reading matter was the Farmer's Almanac and Seed Catalogue, which could last a whole year in the privy if no one was ill. In addition to sober information about phases of the moon and seed sowings, it took a certain grisly relish in recounting the various mass murders, vicious robberies, and natural disasters that befell mankind. On the lines of June the 15th, year of the impromptu stoat, on this day, 150 years since, a man killed by freak shower of goulash in Quirm. Or 14 die at hands of Chum, the notorious herring thrower. The important thing about all these was that they happened a long way away, possibly by some kind of divine intervention. The only things that usually happened locally were the occasional theft of a chicken and the occasional wandering troll. Of course, there could also be robbers and bandits in the hills, but they got on well with the actual residents and were essential to the local economy. Even so, she felt she'd certainly feel safer with someone else about the place. The dark figure on the hillside was well into the second row. Behind it, the cut grass withered in the sun.
"I have finished, Miss Flitworth."
"Go and feed the pig, then. She's called Nancy."
"Nancy,"
said Bill, turning the word around in his mouth as though he was trying to see it from all sides.
"After my mother."
"I will go and feed the pig Nancy, Miss Flitworth."
It seemed to Miss Flitworth that mere seconds went by.
"I have finished, Miss Flitworth."
She squinted at him. Then, slowly and deliberately, she wiped her hands on a cloth, stepped out into the yard, and headed for the pigsty. Nancy was eyeball deep in the swill trough. Miss Flitworth wondered exactly what comment she should make. Finally, she said,
"Very good, very good. You certainly work fast."
"Miss Flitworth, why does not the cockerel crow properly?"
"Oh, that's just Cyril. He hasn't got a very good memory. Ridiculous, isn't it? I wish he'd get it right."
Bill Dawe found a piece of chalk in the farm's old smithy, located a piece of board among the debris, and wrote very carefully for some time. Then he wedged the board in front of the henhouse and pointed Cyril towards it.
"This you will read," he said.
Cyril peered myopically at the cock-a-doodle-doo in heavy Gothic script. Somewhere in his tiny, mad chicken mind, a very distinct and chilly understanding formed that he'd better learn to read very, very quickly. Bill Dawe sat back among the hay and thought about the day. It seemed to have been quite a full one. He'd cut the hay and fed animals and mended a window. He'd found some old overalls hanging in the barn. They seemed far more appropriate for a Bill Dawe than a robe woven of absolute darkness, so he'd put them on. And Miss Flitworth had given him a broad-brimmed straw hat. And he'd ventured the half-mile walk into the town. It wasn't even a one-horse town. If anyone had a horse, they'd have eaten it. The residents appeared to be making a living by stealing one another's washing. There was a town square, which was ridiculous. It was really only an enlarged crossroads with a clock tower. And there was a tavern. He'd gone inside. After the initial pause, while everyone's mind had refocused to allow him room, they'd been cautiously hospitable. News travels even faster on a vine with few grapes.
"You'd be the new man up at Miss Flitworth's," said the barman. "A Mr. Dawe, I did hear."
"Call me Bill."
"Ah. Used to be a tidy old farm once upon a time. We never thought the old girl'd stay on."
"Ah,"
agreed a couple of old men by the fireplace.
"Ah. New to these parts, then?" said the barman.
The sudden silence of the other men in the bar was like a black hole.
"Not precisely."
"Been here before, have you?"
"Just passing through."
"They say old Miss Flitworth's a loony,"
said one of the figures on the benches around the smoke-blackened walls.
"But sharp as a knife, mind,"
said another hunched drinker.